This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, good morning, 96.5 The Fan. Your place, your spot, your station for Kansas City sports. Welcome into a Tuesday. I hope everybody's doing all right. Driving in this severe weather we're having.
Very dangerous out there today. I mean, it's not yet anyway.
Gonna be a tornado on your commute to work.
Oh my goodness, the weather people are freaking out today, calling for a blizzard tomorrow and no snow. We're gonna be weather aware and have no snow, but yet blizzard-like conditions tomorrow.
So stay safe out there.
Be careful. Seriously. Gonna rain all day today. Blizzard-like conditions tomorrow. 70 on Saturday.
Is it? Like, when do you guys still do that at your house where you package up the winter clothes?
No.
Okay, you just leave it all?
Yeah.
I used to. Now I'm just, like, too lazy.
Where do you put it all when you package it all up, though? That's the thing. Like, lazy is the right word. Not lazy. Like, why waste your time doing that? You know, like, you could be doing something more productive than packing up the winter clothes, right?
Yeah.
So, and especially in this weather, it may be cold next week. We don't know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think 41 and blizzard.
Yep.
I'm still trying to put those two together.
See, that's the key. The buzzword is blizzard. People hear that and they go, oh my God, I better watch the local news. I think watching the local news is worse than smoking cigarettes for your health. And I will die on that hill to the day I'm dead. And I will watch the local news never, but they want you to watch because they will say blizzard like conditions. And everybody goes, oh my God, a blizzard's coming. We must get to the store. We must buy eggs. We must buy milk. We must buy bread and we must stock up. And no, that's not it. It's just going to be very, very windy and some dusting of a snow. Now, if you're in Dallas and between Dallas and Oklahoma City, you may be effed, but up here in Kansas City, I think we're going to be okay and not have that kind of severe weather.
And the Tonganoxie split is just undefeated.
It is undefeated, yes. It is definitely undefeated.
Like, is the Independence Avenue Bridge or the Tonganoxie split more devastating?
The Independence Avenue Bridge, yeah, no question. Yeah, the Tonganoxie split, like, at least it splits the storm up and it kind of goes one way and the other. That Independence Avenue Bridge ain't moving, man.
It splits semis up.
Yeah, it does. It destroys semis, yes.
Yeah, you just, you know, it's, I don't know, I just remember literally yesterday. Going to be some severe thunderstorms on your drive in to work tomorrow morning. It's going to snow rain until well after the afternoon. Now it's like, well, there's a chance in the morning might rain at like 4.
Right.
Perfect.
These guys are all over the place. What's going to get you to watch? What's going to get you to tune in? Exactly. So that's the weather for today.
Right. We also have Fat Tuesday is today.
Yeah, it is.
So then obviously you're in the Mardi Gras season, right? Mm-hmm. You have Fat Tuesday, Ash Wednesday, and then Lent begins.
And then it's over.
And then it's au revoir until Easter.
It.
Yeah, until Easter. They get the threesome, right?
So that's right.
Also on a Tuesday. We'll do that a little bit later on. It's also Jay Binkley's birthday.
I mean, how about that? Jay Binkley and Fat Tuesday all in one. He's diving into something today, right?
Yeah. So Fat Tuesday, right? Like, you know, the mantra to that, right? It's just you indulge in something that you're about to just no longer indulge in for 3 weeks and then just indulge into it again.
Right.
Never really respected the people that gave up something that was very, like, minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to give up tea.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, okay.
I'm going to give up cursing.
Yeah. F that.
Yeah, like, not a chance.
No way.
I do that from 6 to 10 a.m. I ain't giving that up the rest of the day.
Right. Let somebody in a Porsche
SUV follow you on 69 Highway home.
Yeah, you give up cursing. That guy was a douchebag yesterday. I mean, first of all, you're driving a Porsche. Now you got me going. Thanks, Dusty. Just set it up and let me knock it down, right? You're driving a Porsche SUV. First of all, you got more money than you know what to do with, right? I mean, that's where I kind of fall into that line.
By the way, I had a back row seat to this for like the 5 mile stretch that this happened, and I was loving it.
I mean, and then you're driving a Porsche SUV, and you're on the side of the exit ramp on 69, and then you decide to cut everybody off in traffic and then do about 45 miles an hour with nothing but paved lanes in front of you, right? Mm-hmm. There's nothing but road in front of you. And my kids always say, how does traffic start? And you always wondered that as a kid. Where does traffic come from? That guy. Because he pulls onto the road in a 65-mile-an-hour zone, cuts off everybody, and proceeds to go 45 miles per hour in his Porsche SUV, okay? And so now we get it to where 69 goes from 2 lanes to 3 lanes. Do you think he gets over? No, he does not get over to that third lane of traffic. So I have to go around him in order to get where I'm going because this guy's still doing 45 on 69 in the middle lane. And so I proceeded to drive by and give him the finger and honk. What's wrong with that? So you need to be, you need to know when you're being a douche.
And I passed Bob. I was like, that guy.
Dusty passed me. I'm like, Porsche SUV? Yeah, that guy.
But no, Fat Tuesday, if you could indulge in one thing before you had to give it up, what would it be?
I don't know the answer to that question because there's so many things that I would like to indulge in and then give up for a while, you know, but, you know, you can talk about wings, you can talk about pizza, you can talk about burgers, you can talk about booze.
How much do you eat wings, though?
Like,
that's not really that hard.
It's not. And I'm trying to think of, like, something that I indulge in. Like, I mean,
I would give you a pat. Like, I know I just ripped people for tea. Now, maybe if you're one of those people that's like, in the morning, you have a hot tea. In the afternoon, you have an iced tea. And when you go home at like 4 o'clock, you get the happy hour up on Sonic, you get a sweet tea.
Right.
I drink coffee every morning 6 days a week.
Yeah.
Like, giving that up for 3 weeks would be something where I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's a tough one.
But I also use the coffee a little bit as a little bit of a bump in the morning, too. Right? Right?
Like, just a little,
the little hit that I've been given, right?
After you had a couple beers?
Yeah, right. After a couple beers last night, it's like, I got to have a hit, right?
Yeah.
But no, I use it kind of as, I don't want to say an energy. Like, if I came in here and I didn't have coffee, I think I'd be just fine. But number one, for a couple days. Yeah, for a couple days. Yeah, for a couple
then
beers.
Let me talk to you on Thursday.
Thursday, oh my God, I'm dragging, right?
Yeah.
But I don't refill it. I make, you know, one cup in the morning and that's it. It's not like I'm going overboard or anything like that, but like no, I think coffee probably would be one of those things. Or, you know, I'm so lame anymore because I'm getting to that age where, like, what are you giving up? I don't know, protein bars, you know, like stuff like that. I'm looking at your one bar sitting there. You must have got the variety pack because you have a different color today than you did yesterday. And I meant to ask you about your one yesterday, and I know that's the almond one that's really, really good. The almond
coconut.
This
is the chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, it's a chocolate chip cookie. Yep. I thought it was green. That's light blue. Yep. My bad.
Yesterday was the breakfast cereal, so it's like Fruity Pebbles.
How was that one?
Good.
It's a good one. I like the birthday cake one.
It's chewier than this one.
Yeah, okay, good. So, like, something like that I would give up, or, you know, lean proteins. Like, there's not a lot in my life right now that I'm like, you know what, I need to give that up. I need to get rid of that. I need to take that out of my life for the next 4 days. So, yeah, coffee's probably a good opportunity, a good, you know, calling card, if you will.
No one's ever been like, you know what, I'm going to give up marriage for, like, 3 weeks just to see how much I love it. Like, I mean, that's essentially coffee.
Yeah.
Gives you a little bump on Tuesdays.
Right.
And then it's just like, you know what, I mean, imagine trying to explain that to your wife. Honey, I love you. But for, you know, Lent this year, I'm giving up marriage.
Right. Giving it up for however long marriage, you know, however long it is.
So I'm going to be single.
Right.
Bachelor, 3 weeks. And I'll get back with you, and I guarantee you, I come back, I'm going to love you even more.
Right, absolutely. I'm going to go sow my wild oats, you know. I'm going to go live at the Westin with Tammy for 3 weeks and, you know, put me up there, and, you know, we'll take care of business. But I've always said that. I always said I'm moving into the Westin once the kids become the teenage years, start the ladies' days and all that kind of stuff. About time to move out. Not going to lie, about time to move into the Westin. So Tammy, get a room ready for me.
I'm moving in. Yeah, because I don't participate in Lent. I'm not Catholic.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think, I mean, do what you want to do, but traditionally that's where it originates,
right.
I think. And, so I don't know, man, like, I look at food, like, it's probably one.
Mm-hmm. Like, but is there a certain food that you're a glutton for? Like, you always are kind of eating?
I would
or
say
you need
anything fast food, and everything qualifies.
Okay.
So, like, Chipotle would be considered that.
Oh,
like,
okay. All
you
right.
know,
All
like
right.
going to, like, I don't know, like Jersey Mike's would qualify for that. I don't eat a ton of fast food.
Right. Like Quick Trip, would you count
that?
Yeah,
that would
be for me.
Oh,
yeah. Quick Trip, where you go in there and get a roller dog or something like that.
Or anything. Yeah. You know, like just,
I'm going to give up Quick Trip, you know?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter where you get gas. Every place is $2.89. Has been for like 4 weeks. Blows my mind.
It's been that way since basically the first of the year. It has not moved.
I've never seen it go this long. Like, we're on a great streak of $2.89.
It's true. It has when not it changed yet.
And
when's the summer travel season starting? You know, that's when it'll go
now,
up.
My only four sources are all four Quick Trips because I go three different ways to work. But the one in Lee's Summit on 3rd Street and 50 Highway, $2.89. The one on Knoll on the corner right by Top Golf, $2.89. The one on Metcalf that is on the right side across from McDonald's, $2.89.
Mm-hmm.
This one up here by the station,
$2.89. Oh, yeah, you go to every once in a while, you'll see like a $2.88 somewhere, but no, it's been $2.89 and it's held steadfast, except there's an Exxon or a Shell or something down here right off the highway that's like $2.93, but you're right off the highway, so I understand there's a little bit of a surcharge on that one.
And Lynn's is 6.5 weeks.
Oh, okay.
FYI.
6.5 weeks.
So you'd be
okay.
6.5 weeks without being married.
Yeah, that's even better. So $2.89. Yeah, not bad. But you can't give up getting gas, but you can give up going inside money inside.
You do not. Right. I don't know. I'm just saying, like, I don't eat sweets, so that's not fair. But I'm going to give up ice cream.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing. I haven't had an ice cream cone
in 6 weeks, dude.
Yeah.
Well, I gave it up.
Pizza, I mean, maybe I probably eat that once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's still, that's not to me like a challenge. Like, I want to like challenge myself.
Right. Something that you could challenge
yourself.
Somebody's
like, I give up weed, but not a chance.
Right.
Fair enough. Let me know how you feel on like Friday at 3. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And see, it's like I don't drink much anymore. So it's not like, oh, I'm going to give up booze for Lent or something like that. Like, I've kind of eliminated all that kind of the gluttonous stuff out of my life.
Somebody says giving up KU basketball for my mental well-being.
A lot of people are. Look, I gave it up during COVID. I was talking to Zip about that this morning. He's complaining about Hunter Dickinson in the NIL. I said, now you know why I haven't watched this stuff since COVID. It's not interesting.
And to be fair, they probably played the second to third best team in the country last night on senior night in their house.
Yeah, right.
Where Fran Fischello was like, I don't like senior night. Guys are crying, getting emotional. They just don't play well. And
he didn't say that, did he?
LJ Cryer had 18 in the first half. I'm like, senior.
Oh, my God. No, Fran didn't say that,
yes, did he?
He did. He's so cringe. Yeah. Do people still like him? I'll give up Fran Fischello for Lent. I mean, seriously.
Well,
I don't watch college basketball, so I can't. Yeah. I've already given up Fran Fischello. But if I was a college basketball fan, I would give up Fran Fischello for Lent. Senior night is one of the best nights. People love senior night. I've been to how many senior nights at Allen Fieldhouse over my years, and it's great, but you don't really have seniors anymore. That seems to be the problem, too, right? You have senior night, and it's like the team manager who's been hanging around that nobody knows, and so nobody stays long enough like we used to back in the day to have those senior nights, but you honor those kids who put in the 4 years, and you celebrate those kids who put in the 4 years because it's very rare.
I was like, or the opposite effect, like guy gets jacked up, because it's like Cooper Flagg last night balled out, won me.
Well, that's his senior night last night, right?
Yeah. Crowd started chanting one more year.
Yeah, right.
And his dad was in the crowd. He's like, no, run it back. And everyone's just kind of like, because he did the best thing ever. He teased that he could come back.
Absolutely.
And the guy, it's so funny because one of the announcers is like, he should come back. And the other guy goes, that's a terrible business decision, man. It's like, teach these kids business. He's like, it's a terrible business decision because, like, obviously the NBA draft, it works. Like, the higher you get drafted, the more money you can make. So, like, a guy that gets picked first, a guy that gets picked 10th, significant money difference.
Right.
He will be the number one overall pick.
Right. There's nobody in Europe that we don't know about that the NBA is in love with that they're going to pick and tell everybody he's the next great thing. Not over Cooper.
Not over Cooper.
Okay, good.
That's your future. That's your future face in the NBA.
That's also been a big problem with the NBA is everybody that gets drafted plays in Europe and nobody knows who they are anymore. They're not college kids like it used to be. And so that does have a – so Cooper Flagg being the number one pick this year in the NBA is great for the NBA, for Cooper Flagg.
That's their next brace they're going to lean on.
And they should. Is he already the new face of the NBA?
I mean,
No. Who is? Because nobody wants it.
But also what he can do, since he's making a ton of money, he can just be like, oh, I don't want to go to Portland, Memphis, or Wizards. Yeah. I'll just stay in college for another year and hope another team, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You see, well, I don't know. When does the lottery get announced versus when do you have to declare? Like, can you wait to see who the number one overall pick is?
Never mind.
I am not going to Charlotte. No chance. Well, for him, Charlotte may be actually
pretty
good. Yeah,
they'd have him and LaMelo. Him and LaMelo would be fun to watch.
But also being the local ties with Duke and everything. Charlotte would like lose their minds if they were able to get Cooper Flagg.
See, all you gotta do is just talk a little NBA and start some blocks. But
here's the conspiracy theory. We saw how they fixed the draft lottery for Patrick Ewing. We saw how they fixed the draft lottery for Wemby to go to San Antonio. And now are we going to see how they fix the draft lottery to make sure Cooper Flagg goes to Charlotte? Because if he goes to Charlotte, they're printing money. I guarantee you they're printing money. They will sell season tickets. People will go crazy to go watch that kid play because he's a Duke. He's a local kid. It's perfect for them. Charlotte will get the number one pick in the lottery.
Tinfoil hats. Speaking of drafts, worse for some, but not for Kansas City. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
I just want to say how awesome it is to have Bob Fesco and Legend Likens on every morning to start my day. I freaking love you guys.
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Just doing some off-the-air conversations. Looks like Wimby made $24 million. With his first 2 years?
Yep. $24 million a year?
No,
or
12
and 12.
First 2 years guaranteed, third-year option, fourth-year option. Normally, if you're balling out,
yeah, you're gonna
by the time you get to the third year, the team's like, we're just going to give you a contract.
I heard that conversation yesterday about Jalen Daniels, quite honestly. Like, a guy like that, like, in his third year, I know he's not going into his third year, but if you're going into your third year as a quarterback, do you pay Daniels a little bit early so you don't have to pay him as much, yes, right?
Well,
you buy
like
out a couple of years of his contract,
so
right?
So to have that question in live action, that'd be like, do the Houston Texans pay CJ today?
Yeah, that name came up as well. Mm-hmm. CJ Stroud was kind of how they got to that conversation. Then, I would if I'm
Houston. You're CJ or if you're Houston?
If I'm Houston. If I'm CJ, I'm thinking, well, let's see what the offer is. Let's have this kind of conversation. You know, they kind of did that with Mahomes. They paid him, obviously, early before they needed to pay.
Year three.
Patrick, which is CJ Stroud going into year three.
But to be fair, Mahomes didn't play his rookie season.
That's exactly right.
So he just did it right.
Yeah.
Like, he did 50 and 5,000, then did another ball in year and said, what do you guys think?
Right.
Because I'll let you know what I know, and then you just tell me, and that's when the check comes out. It's like, just we'll put a number, and we'll
But they
we'll
also had a willing participant with Patrick Mahomes as well, too. Yeah. I mean, like, Mahomes wants to be here, obviously wants to create that legacy here, and he was willing to do what it took because he's following in the footsteps of Tom Brady, whether you want to admit it or not. Tom Brady always took less money. Patrick Mahomes is taking less. I mean, what's Dak's salary cap hit this year? $89.9 million, twice of what Patrick Mahomes is making.
It was 90.
Yeah. Twice of what Patrick Mahomes is going to make this year at $45 million. Dak is on the hook for 90. Yeah.
Quick research. Sorry to do this to you. What do you think Cooper Flagg's NIL money is? Over or under $9.5 million?
Under, I'm going to say.
Because he's the first athlete to be NIL'd by Gatorade.
Yeah, I think he's going to be under because I thought that kid that's getting $7 million from BYU kind of set the record for the most. But I could be totally wrong about that, but that just stands out in my mind. I think Cooper Flagg is probably a little bit less than that.
Double-digit sounds like quarterback money.
Yeah, but have we even seen anybody get double-digit money yet on the football side of things? I don't know.
Sure.
Did he?
He made like more than $10 million, didn't
he?
He was the number one in NIL in football.
I don't know. We'll probably look it up and we'll all be like, oh, that's all they make in the NIL. So, yeah, if you're Cooper Flagg, you decide to go because you
can value $3.3 million for Cooper Flagg.
So there you go.
And he's number one in college basketball.
There you go. So that's why I said I thought that $7 million was kind of a key thing for that kid that's going to BYU next year.
Yeah, and Shedeur Sanders, $4.7 million.
Yeah,
oh, wow,
so
the
numbers aren't as big as we thought, right?
No, they're not.
And so there's
What did Arch Manning make? I think he was actually number one.
Did he make big bucks?
I think so. He got like a ton of money.
And $4 million.
6.6.
Jeez. 6.6
for a guy who hasn't played.
Yeah, but 6.6 million for that, brilliant. Take the money and run, right?
Yeah.
But now if you're Cooper Flagg and you're thinking about, do I stay for $4 million or do I go for 25 that's going to be guaranteed? I'm taking the $25 million guaranteed money. I don't care if it's in Portland or where it is. That is good time money for you to get. And so you got to go ahead and do that. And that's the business side of sports now. I mean, that's where we're living. I told you guys earlier, I was talking to a guy yesterday at the J, my man Vic, and he's like, I don't understand this kid from Missouri that's hitting all these threes that went to Iowa State. He grew up in Wichita. How did he get out of Kansas? I'm like, money. It's dollar. Like, guys aren't staying at home and staying in state because they want to be a Jayhawk or a Wildcat. They're going to see, they want to be a Benjamin. They want to go where the dollars are, man.
It's Texan gave up what they're giving up on Fat Tuesday. They're giving up, they want me to give up golf analogies.
Okay.
And then I'd give up listening to Dusty.
Wow. All right.
And then they said Costco gas is $2.65.
Okay.
Or you can use your Hy-Vee points.
Yeah, use your Hy-Vee points, and stock up there. Get your gas points at Hy-Vee and get it down even below that. You save up those Hy-Vee gas points, my man. I'll tell you what, you can get that thing to roll back like a dollar. Woo, baby!
Respect the text from the 620. Carson Beck in Miami got $4 million and a Cavender twin.
Fair point.
Winning.
Fair point. That is winning. But for some of those guys like Carson Beck, do you guys envision him as an NFL player?
No. And
be honest with me.
Do you want to do another lunch?
Yeah.
6 months ago, you didn't think Jackson Dart would be in a top 10 pick.
Yeah, but no,
and I don't think he will be.
Carson Beck will be a top three round pick
yeah. next year. Okay, so yeah, you go back to Miami, you take that money, you do your thing down in college.
What
because
if he goes to Miami and has a decent year?
Yeah, but he was the number one
quarterback going into this season.
Going into last season, right? But who knows? Change of scenery could be great for everybody. It's like, you know, any professional athlete, sometimes a change of scenery is really good. You know, for guys like that, you see those fringe guys on baseball teams that have no options left. You say, all right, we'll trade for this guy. We'll throw some cash your way. You give us him. Just kind of a change of scenery type trade, which essentially is what that, you know, the Jeremy Guthrie trade was for Jonathan Sanchez years ago. That was just a change of scenery trade. Ended up working out great for Kansas City and not great for Colorado, but that was a change of scenery type trade, and it worked out well. So sometimes you need to just make those moves just to give somebody an extra opportunity to kind of catch their breath, reset a little bit, and maybe Carson Beck missed one of the Cavender twins when he was at Georgia and decided, you know, I need to go to Miami, be close to my girl, and then he's going to play better.
Yeah, I mean, every second I was away from her, I'd miss her.
Yeah, I mean, how much better has Mac gotten since his girl moved to town? I mean, it's night and day.
Pasta Lord. The 2013 NFL draft considered the worst NFL draft in the history of NFL drafts, correct?
That's what they said, right?
That's what Mac spewed out yesterday.
Yes.
And we started to look at it. We're like, all right, what did we get in the 2013 draft from a Kansas City Chiefs perspective?
Eric Fisher was our number one pick that year. Eric Fisher was the number one pick, and there was one other person taken in the first round that you could have even made a case that they should have taken over Eric Fisher, and that was Lane Johnson, who came in at number four to the Philadelphia Eagles, right?
I mean, solid dude.
People talk about that draft, and I mean, like, why couldn't we do better than Eric Fisher? Because there really wasn't anybody better than Eric Fisher in that draft other than Lane Johnson.
Luke Jokel was in that draft.
Yep.
Bust.
Yep. Do you know who the third overall pick was in the 2013 draft?
No chance.
Deion Jordan, Miami Dolphins. The only reason I know is because I'm looking at it. I don't even know who that is.
Michael's son. One of the seven. That's Jimmy Butler, that guy, Anthony Edwards.
Right.
And then in the third round, there was a pretty good player taken by the Chiefs.
Right. Travis Kelce. Travis Kelce. Like, the 2013 draft was legitimately one of the worst we've ever seen. And the Chiefs got Eric Fisher and Travis Kelce out of that draft. And when we talked to Binkley about this, Mike Catapano came from that draft. And you know what Mike Catapano turned into? Charvarius Ward.
So three solid players out of that draft developed for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's a pretty good draft, right?
The last best left tackle you had.
Right.
The best tight end in the history of the NFL.
Right.
And a quarterback that you won a Super Bowl with and then didn't have to sign and then beat him with the game-winning touchdown right in front of his face.
That's exactly right.
Brutal.
Pretty good run there for Kansas City in 2013. But, I mean, some of these names, like Star Lotulelei.
I remember him.
You remember that name? We were all talking. Oh, the Chiefs should probably look at
drafting. Is he dead now? Or is he in jail?
What?
Something happened. Something drastic happened to him.
Did it? Oh, my God. I don't know.
Something. I'm pretty sure he's either in jail or dead.
Oh, okay.
Tell me I'm wrong, please.
You may be wrong about that. Justin Reed's brother Eric was drafted 18 to San Francisco that year. DeAndre Hopkins, 27th to Houston that year.
Straight out of Clemson.
That's right. Cordarrelle Patterson went 29 to the Minnesota Vikings, the Minnetonka Vikings.
You know what? I'm going to give a little credit to Cordarrelle Patterson because that guy kind of made it throughout the NFL. He had that like random 2-year stint with the Falcons where they made him like a running back.
Yeah.
And he was a good returner. And then he went to a couple other teams. He was all right.
29th overall pick, though. I mean, if that's a guy you find in the third round, that's a good pick.
Yeah, definitely did not.
He was great in college, though. You got to think about
it. Of course, like his.
Where did he go?
Yeah.
Balls. he really was good.
And then Matt Elam was the 32nd pick that year in the draft. Alec Ogletree was also taken by the Rams. How the Rams were picking 30 that year, I have no idea.
Is there only one quarterback?
I think there's one quarterback. I'm trying to think who.
Chiefs didn't take one.
There wasn't one. That was the year Josh wanted Geno Smith as the quarterback, right? But who else were you going to take that year? There was no. It was kind of like this year's quarterback draft, right? There really isn't that number one guy that's coming out that's worth taking, you know, in the first round this year. Who was the quarterback taken?
EJ Manuel.
Oh my God, that's right, EJ
Manuel.
He played for Florida State or no, Clemson or some school. He played for a college. I know that.
I guess it was Junior Siavi who's in jail.
Junior Siavi, yeah, that guy. Oh my God,
sorry. to the
He's dead.
Sorry to Star.
You're
still alive. Star Lele.
You're doing well. Yeah.
Junior CV is dead. He
Florida State. Nice pull.
Yeah, it was Florida State,
nice
right?
Pull.
Yeah. He was a guy that I'll never forget when they drafted Junior CV, and they had him at training camp at River Falls, and there's like four reporters there.
He's a big dude, right?
Wasn't he? The story gets really good. Yeah. Okay, you want to pop down the music for this one, right? And so they draft him. And back in those days, Carl Peterson used to basically love to fight and spar with the agents about getting guys in the camp. And they never signed anybody on time, right? It was always one of those deals where, you know, we're not going to get the guy in camp. Is he going to be signed or not? And it never worked, right? And so they finally get this guy signed and they bring him in. And Bob Moore, who was the PR guy at the time, one of the great humans of all time, is like, all right, you guys are going to interview this guy. We just signed him. Here he is. And boom. And it's just like four reporters standing. You know, it's nothing big outside of a cafeteria. Outside, it's a nice day. Birds are chirping. This guy was so scared of the media. I've never seen anything like it in my entire life. He was like just... I couldn't answer the questions. Didn't know what to do.
Like Ricky Bobby?
No, like just totally like there was like nothing going on or something. I don't even know
how to do my hands.
Right. But it wasn't even like that. It was just like, oh my God, this guy's got issues. Right. And so that year in training camp, there was one night where they all had the night off. And I want to say it was 04-ish. It was definitely Vermeil's year because I believe Lawrence Tynes was involved in one of the incidents or maybe. Yeah, I think it was Tynes at the time.
Sounds about right.
There were three incidents that took place in the Minneapolis area that night with Chiefs players. There was something that took place in Stillwater, Minnesota. There was a bar altercation there. There was a bar altercation in downtown River Falls.
Is this when Lesnar was there?
No.
Okay,
no,
this
no.
is after?
This was like Brock Lesnar was with the Vikings, right? Mm-hmm. And that's when he beat up Dante Hall. This was not the same year, don't think. And then there was an incident at Bows and Mine on downtown River Falls. And then there was an incident at like a Marriott in downtown Minneapolis. And that's where Junior Siavi comes into this. This guy was in this hotel with a couple of other Chiefs, and I don't remember who they were. And they were basically like taking the hotel furniture and just destroying it, like just beating it over the wall and shattering hotel furniture, like in the lobby. And so this guy was so big, the cops couldn't get him down. And so it was the first time I'd ever heard of the term a spit hood. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a spit hood. This guy, Siavi.
I got many thoughts on what that could possibly be.
Was like he was so spitting all over the cops as they were trying to wrestle. So they put this hood over his head that they call a spit hood.
Yeah, they did those in Con Air.
Oh my gosh.
And so that was Junior Siavi in a spit hood.
They Hannibal Lectured him.
Pretty much. Yeah. Though they pretty much did. Yeah. And he never really did anything.
No, I always used to watch, what was it, like Jail or whatever that show was. It was on like at 9 o'clock at night on like AMC where they would just like have like, it was like Cops, but like the Hustler version,
uh-huh.
Like it's a little more risque. And they'd have guys that would go in there and spit and they'd put like the little like mesh bag over.
Yeah,
face.
That's exactly what it was. Oh, so yeah. I want to say Greg Wesley may have been part of something that night. I think Lawrence Tynes was Greg on the team Wesley. That year and it was Bows and Mine. If you go back and look all that up, like it was like an August 3rd of like 03 or 04. And there were three incidents that took place on that off day. I don't think many people were happy the next morning.
What was that secondary? Greg Wesley, Eric Warfield, yeah. William Barty. God, no wonder they're getting 40 points a game.
Yeah. Exactly. But, I mean, you didn't have anybody getting to the quarterback because Siavi was in a spit hood.
That's kind of intimidating. He had a spit hood, and Laramie Tunsil had a smoke mask.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Who turned out better?
Tunsil.
Of course he did. Siavi's dead. And, and made good money in the NFL. Siavi never did anything.
That's crazy, though, to think that, because that was I remember I was at, as we were talking about Clancy's last week, I was at Clancy's that year they took Kelsey in the third round. Because I remember it was like tied in out of Cincinnati. And then, of course, like, you know how that happens with the NFL draft. Like, as soon as someone's drafted, everybody goes to their Google and starts looking up, like, who this person was.
Right.
Size, stats.
And the two that are always the most, like, polarizing to me was, like, Travis Kelce immediately, like, looking up him. And then when the Chiefs drafted Tyreek Hill. Like, everyone found out who he was the minute he was drafted.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the fan hate was everywhere. And I remember when Kelce was drafted, I was like, all right, this guy's a monster. Oh, he played quarterback in high school. And then it was like, he slipped in the draft because of weed.
That's right. And he was kicked out of the University of Cincinnati. Remember, weed was verboten 10 years ago. Like, if, God, you were a problem child.
And then that's when, like,
now it's like, here you go.
If you go back and listen or watch the New Heights podcast when they had Andy Reid join way back, like in their first season, he talks about that whole ordeal where he's like, Jason's like, yeah, Andy called me and was like, can I trust your brother? And can I put your reputation on the line to basically put him on this team? He's like, yeah, my brother's fine. He's a little hothead. And then Andy goes and talks about how he was like, oh, man, this guy was he was a hothead back in the day. I had to, like, you know, check him a couple times. And he's joined the locks. And
I missed it.
Oh, yeah, just a hair lord.
Yeah.
And
had to readjust.
Yeah. So and I remember listening to that. And I'm like, all right, cool. And then I, like, go back in time when I think about whenever I was at the bar, like, looking up Travis Kelce, like 2013 draft, and I was like, this guy might be all right. And then we watched the career happen. It's like, he's much better than all right.
I mean, I know I say this a
lot. He was the next
lot.
After Tony G. Yeah. Like, those were the shoes he had to fill.
Well Tony Moyaki. Let's not forget Tony Moyaki had that one catch in the back of the end zone.
One of the greatest Chiefs catches of all time.
San
Francisco, opening weekend, middle of the end zone, stretched
rookie
out
rookie year, you're like, oh my God, they got Tony G's replacement. That
straight
was the last.
Iowa. He was the first Iowa tight. Was he Iowa?
Yeah, oh yeah, he's Iowa kid, yeah.
He was Iowa tight end number one. Yeah. And then it was Kittle, and then it was Laporta, and then it was all these guys.
It kind of was.
No, it was.
Yeah. He was the worst of the bunch, right?
Damn it.
And he had that one play, and we're still waiting for Tony Moyaki to make.
If a catch has ever sold you, that one had
that
to have sold.
That one was
incredible,
though.
Nobody that day was like, hey, he got lucky. Let's see what he can do the rest of his career. Right. Everyone was like, there's like the Leo meme. That's the guy.
You know how many Moyaki jerseys were sold after that catch?
Like, one of my buddies named Darren bought it.
You still see people with Moyaki jerseys rolling the parking lots, man. I still see those jerseys. I'm like, man, you got suckered in on that one catch. We all did. And then Tony Moyaki never really amounted to obviously anything. But the Travis Kelce thing, I mean, I say it all the time. Andy Reid probably affected his career and life more than any other player in the entire NFL. Now, Michael Vick may have a conversation about that because Andy Reid, you know, went and visited him in jail and brought him out and gave him that second opportunity. But Andy Reid stuck with Travis Kelce when he very well could have cut him from being a hothead, as he said. I mean, Andy Reid was this close. We talk about it all the time, this close to say, Travis, you're done. And Travis finally allowed Andy Reid to kind of be his mentor, if you will, and followed what Andy Reid said, and he's blossomed into the best tight end ever. It's one of the great career arcs that we've ever seen in the NFL.
I think Travis Kelce is a name that comes up in this next topic because the Chiefs are $17.6 million over the cap. They have to be under that in 8 days.
They'll get there.
Does the Mahomes and Kelce reconfiguration contract happen, or is there other ways to get around?
Well, I don't know exactly the ins and outs of the funny money and how that all works, but this is probably something that is going to happen. I'm reading something that they may have to convert roster bonuses to signing, but that's money you got to pay out right away. Again, it goes back to why we need the new stadium, why we need more revenue generating, because according to SpotRack, if they convert Patrick Mahomes' roster bonus to a signing bonus, $25.8 million, Clark needs to write that check today. That needs to go right into, that's a Western Union to his account. Chris Jones, $12 million. Travis Kelce, $10 million. So you're talking about 25, 35, 45, 46, 47. Another $10 million bonus for Joe Tooney, 50. So Clark has basically got to get $60 million in checks scratched over the next 8 days to get to where they need to be for salary cap purposes, right? The money that you use for that has got to be real cash. That's not funny money, salary cap money. You got to have that cash on hand. And if you don't have that cash on hand, you can't do those type of deals. Now, I'm sure overall monies for the Hunt family, that's a drop in the bucket. But when you talk about just the Chiefs operation, that comes out of that budget. How do we generate more money to have that cash on hand? We sell stadium suites. So that's why it's important to continue to generate as much money as you possibly can for these franchises. So when you get to this point of the year, they've got the cash on hand to make the moves necessary to free up the room so they can go out and make their roster better.
I think this is one of the three times where Brett and Clark sit down 1v1. I think there's this time of the year because this is, I always try to figure out what's his stronger suit, Mr. Veach, and that is his ways that he fluctuates the salary cap and always seems to get it right, or the draft. And obviously some guys get paid more. We're like, do we really need to get that guy much more? But look, three Super Bowls, AFC Championship game every single year. He's doing something right, whether it's better in the draft or whether it's with the contracts, it works. I think he also sits down with them during the trade deadline, and I think he sits down with them before the draft. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the three 1v1 interviews that you have with the big boss.
Do you think they do that on Zoom, or do you think they actually do that person to person, face to face? For sure, Zoom.
Yeah, because one's here.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think Clark comes up, or he goes down, or they meet in Oklahoma City for a cocktail or something? I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, or they go to Cincinnati and have a chili flavored ice cream.
They could do that as well, too, which is absolutely disgusting. No, but I think you're probably right about that. I don't think there's a lot of overlording, for lack of a better term, with Clark Kent. I think he's got the right people in place, and that's obviously what a leader does. You put the right people in place, you allow them to do their things. But when your leader says, okay, Clark, we need $60 million. Are you cool with that? You probably got to get that stamp of approval, you know, from the owner in order to go out there and spend that money. Yeah. Because again, that is direct deposited money. That is not over time. That is not fake. That is real hard cash that you need to pay these guys in 8 days.
Because all three of those are like major business decisions, right? Like you, you figure out like who's going to get this money to where we can create space and get underneath the line.
Right.
The other one is, all right, who do we like in the draft that can actually give us a chance to like fill a gap that we need something that we, you know, might think about paying in the future? You look at McDuffie, Karloftis, you know, guys like that. And then you look at, okay, like, hey, we might need a couple guys. Who do we want to go out and who's expendable and who's not?
Right, exactly.
And those are the three times where I think they have their, otherwise it's like, go do what you want to do. I trust you with everything else. But before you do these three big things, let's have a 1v1.
Yeah, combo. And I wonder how and much Clark really gets involved with the draft, too. I mean, that's one where if I was the owner of the team, I'd be like, you guys know this more than I do. I'm going to trust you. If you want to talk, we'll talk. I'll give my opinion maybe, but at the end of the day, you guys handle that. I don't know that anybody played for Alcorn State, guys, so you go knock them dead.
Yeah. It might be getting cold tomorrow, but it gets hot as we do the Hot Corner here next on Fesco and Dusty. You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
913-586-7965. Call in right now and tell me how much I suck.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to a soggy Tuesday here on 96.5 The Fan. Fesco, Dusty, Mac with you on 96.5 The Fan. Announcement at 9 o'clock coming up in a couple of hours that you want to be here for. We'll have Josh Verner join us in about an hour from now. We pay our respects to one Jay Binkley. Is it his birthday today?
That's right. Happy 53rd birthday to our friend Jay.
Happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Feliz cumpleaños, Señor Jay. Mac, have you watched Full Swing yet? Got to get you on that, man. I think you guys will enjoy it.
I think I would.
I think you really would. Because it's not just rounds of golf.
Yeah.
It's highlights.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's just highlights. And then it gives you backstories where you're like, you know what? I really like this guy. This
gives me like something to root for behind the swing itself. Yeah, I like that.
Like season two, you'll be like, Winman Clark. Kind of like that guy. Okay. Season one, you'll be like, Joel Damon. Really like that guy.
Okay.
Season three, you'll be like, see, I get it about Bryson.
Wow, that's a long show. I was thinking of like the quarterback, like four episodes, and everybody fell in love with Kirk Cousins, and that was that.
Season one and two are eight. Season three is seven episodes.
How much do you think that show got Kirk Cousins paid this past off season?
Well, it's happened two other times before the show.
That is so true. Like, he's like the king of this.
And he's about to get, he's just going to continue to get paid.
They may not franchise Darnold, by the way, too. And so if they don't franchise Sam Darnold, I mean, are they really serious about keeping Sam Darnold in the fold, right? I would franchise Sam Darnold just because I could possibly trade Sam Darnold.
I think he just comes back and then gets paid even more next year than he would this year. That's just my opinion, though, man.
With Minnesota?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Because if he plays again with Minnesota and they're successful and he has another decent year, then it's going to be like, all right, that's 2 years in a row. Maybe it's more than just Kevin
O'Connell. Then you got to bounce on J.J. McCarthy, don't you, at this point in time? Like, I think you do
exactly what we've been talking about with these quarterbacks, and you're like, you know what? He's been 2 years under Sam Darnold, he knows now Kevin O'Connell's system. This is year three. We've got three more years under contract with him. Yeah. We don't have to really pay him. If he pans out, he pans out. If he doesn't, then he doesn't. Yeah. You trust your head coach to develop another quarterback.
All right, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, but I guess you can give him a couple of years. But, I mean, you got collateral to trade if you're Minnesota at this point, right?
Yeah, the unknown is the best part.
Yeah.
Sign him to a 3-year, $25 million average deal and then see what happens this year. If he's great, great. If he's not, then you can kind of finagle, maybe start JJ for a game in the end of the season. He's great. You can trade JJ.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a lot of options.
I saw Justin Jefferson said, doesn't matter who the quarterback is, I'll make him great.
Yeah, I like that.
That's what I love to hear.
That's awesome. But he's like one of those guys that can make their quarterback great. And there's not many of those guys out there. There really aren't,
Nick Mullins, Josh Dobbs. We've seen him with a lot of trash.
He's done a lot to make guys good, right?
Yeah, you get Kirk Cousins paid.
Right, exactly.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
So put that in your quarterback documentary and smoke it.
And he got Kirk wearing chains and stuff. Shirtless. I don't know if that was just him, but.
And shirtless.
Yeah. Kirk go chains.
I wonder if in Atlanta they got him to Magic City.
Ooh, I bet Kirk Cousins went to Magic City already.
I don't think so.
There's a Kohl's next door. He saw it and waved as he went in to use his Kohl's cash on some new jeans.
You think he used his Kohl's cash at the strip club?
He tried. Yeah. If you take Kohl's cash here,
on sale.
It's 20% off Kohl's.
There's a small section where you can use some outfits for tonight's theme. It's business attire. Hot Corner, a.k.a. Tough Tuesdays in the NFL season. Baseball season, we call it the Hot Corner.
Yeah.
Bob, go ahead and start.
I'm going to start with the weathermen in the area today. They're on the hot seat, if you will, the hot corner right now.
Man.
Can't get the forecast right. Nobody knows what's going to happen. Everybody's all over the place. But more importantly, the other one that I'm going to put on that hot seat list as well, because I'm going to do two this morning, has to be Hunter Dickinson over at the University of Kansas. I'll be honest, guys. I don't know that I've seen a more hated college basketball player in this part of the country, in this city, than what Hunter Dickinson has become. He has become the poster child for like everything that is wrong with Kansas basketball over the last couple of years. And so that guy, you could put on the Tough Tuesday list, the Hot Corner list, almost every single week, because every game that goes by, no matter what happens, I get at least one text of somebody complaining about Hunter Dickinson. I'm like, stop watching. If it's bringing you this much anger, Vip, stop watching the games. But Hunter Dickinson, seemingly, no matter what happens, no matter how they lose, no matter what goes on in a game, it's because of Hunter Dickinson.
A lot of people in Kansas might be anti-Mayo guys. Zeke Mayo has 1-3-13 turnovers in his last three games.
That's a lot, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot. More,
yeah.
Yeah. It's not just Hunter Dickinson, yeah, man.
I prefer Miracle Whip over Mayo.
Oh.
Actually, I don't.
I was going to say, like, that's tough. That's a tough Tuesday.
You ever see the generic Miracle Whip at the grocery store? Oh, salad spread or something? Or sandwich spread, they call it. Oh, I mean, it just Miracle Whip is just
nasty.
No,
but in New Orleans, you get mayo. No need to refrigerate.
No.
On the table in an 80-degree day.
Yeah, sitting out in hot, humid conditions, swamp-like conditions. Here's your mayonnaise. How long's that been out of? Forever.
That mayonnaise looked like a spit hood.
I mean, when we hit that thing on the table and it just jiggled like a bowl full of jelly, I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, what's this for? She's like, everything now. Yeah. Like, no, yeah. It's not. Like,
oh,
no, it's not.
No.
Take that back. You put it on my food, I send it back. My Tough Tuesday goes to Will Howard. You see his combine? Again, yeah, I don't watch the combine, but he was one of the like worst combine participants.
Really?
It wasn't good. I can send you the highlights via X. Just missing people left and right, not making accurate throws. And then, of course, the tweet I saw was, Will Howard's combine, wolf, stock, down emoji.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, boy. Or it's Shador Sanders.
One of the other quarterbacks who tweeted was like, hey, it's tough to throw to guys that you don't usually throw to. Give Will Howard some credit. Like,
yeah, I mean, his combine was tough.
Shador Sanders defending Will Howard.
So, yeah, one of the – I think it was Sanders.
Which kind of – if it was him, kind of debunks why he's also on a Tough Tuesday because – or on a hot corner because – he had his media availability,
yep,
and almost unanimously they came back and they're like, yeah, he's just blatantly arrogant. I don't know if I want this guy.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you kind of should have known that coming in. Like, he was going, that's like part of his
It
shtick.
Actually came from one of the assistant coaches that was interviewing him, one of the quarterback coaches in the NFL who has a top 7 picks, and he was arrogant. And then Josina Anderson got mad and attacked that coach. Like, yeah. So that's the fight that's going on right now. Anonymous coach who had an opinion about somebody versus Josina Anderson, who's saying that he's not arrogant. It doesn't matter what you think. It's how people perceive how you come across. And if this quarterback, running back, tight end, whatever, was doing an interview and he came across as arrogant to an assistant coach, that's how he perceived it. There's nothing wrong with saying
Josina's
that.
Josina's making it a big think piece.
She really is.
Big
race
piece, think piece thing.
Yep.
She looked really good at the Super Bowl.
She's beautiful.
She is.
I don't know if she does the colored contacts thing, but she looks great.
She do whatever she wants. But yeah, the salary cap today ends at 3:00 Central Time. That's why the Sam Darnold conversation goes back.
You got to franchise guy. I mean, you got to franchise. You got to tag the guy today.
Franchise
today. Today's the day.
You got to do it or don't. Obviously, T. Higgins was a big name yesterday, but yeah, no, the Shador Sanders thing. Like, I get it. Like, it's assistant coach. Like, arrogant to me is a very. Vague term, because there's arrogance and there's confidence.
Right.
And I mean, I think Shador has a lot of both, right? I think his whole life, Deion's probably done a lot of giving both of those things to him. So how some people see arrogance could just be how somebody like is confidently carrying themselves. So, I mean, again, you should have known, like when it comes to Shador, like this guy's going to be a little hot, right?
But also your definition of arrogant, maybe not my definition
Correct.
Of arrogant.
And that's why I think it's vague. It's like, that guy's arrogant. Ooh, that guy? No,
okay,
he's
so
not.
So what does that mean? Explain why you believe he's arrogant. Like, and I will say, if you are going to call a guy arrogant, number one, say who you are. Number two, tell everybody why you perceived him to be arrogant and say, well, he came in, he didn't, you know, care to answer the questions, he thought he was above me, whatever the case may be, however you want to decide that somebody's arrogant. But I would like to know what makes Shedeur Sanders arrogant. Or as Dusty said, is he just confident and you can't discern between confidence and arrogance?
Like, I understand if, like, he asked him a question, he's like, I'm not going to answer that stupid question. Like,
okay, that's fine. Yeah, arrogant.
But, like, if he's just like, yeah, I deserve to be the first pick, I'm the best quarterback in this draft, and I'm damn good. Like, oh, he's so arrogant. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
What do you want him to say? I don't know.
But you also, don't you want that out of your quarterback to think he is the best? Because when you think you're the best, you have the opportunity. You got to have the mind in the right mindset, right? You can't go in thinking you've already been beat. You're no good. It's not going to happen. Oh, my God, I'm terrible. Then you're never going to have an opportunity for success. You go in there feeling good about yourself. Hell, yeah, that's what I want out of my quarterback. Somebody's going to captivate the room.
I think Mina Kimes says it best. You know, you want your quarterback to believe in Jesus or believe they are.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
And Shedeur thinks he is, for sure. And that's fine. You know, but you got to be a coach who wants that.
Do you have a tough Tuesday or a hot corner?
Yeah, you know, I just had the Dallas Mavericks one, but we can do that later on in the show because we're up against a break.
Okay,
so no worries.
Darn.
That's a good one, though. We'll get to it.
Yeah, the Dallas Mavs selling their team. coming up on the other side, the good and the bad with the Royals here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.